Laudato Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
Today, Saturday, February 8th, is the feast of Saint Jerome Emiliani and of Saint Josephine Bequita. And these are today's headlines. In an audience with Spanish pilgrims, Pope Francis emphasizes the importance of prayer within families. Hamas releases three more hostages in the fifth exchange under the Gaza ceasefire arrangement. And the Holy See expresses its deep concern about the risk of escalation in the conflict in the Democratic Republic of Congo. In the Vatican, I'm Christopher Wells. Our top story today, Pope Francis welcomed to his residence on Saturday the Executive Committee of the Second International Congress of Confraternities and Popular Piety, which took place in Seville, Spain, last December, as pilgrims during the Jubilee year. The Holy Father noted that they had come to give thanks to God for their Congress, and he encouraged them in prayer and in performing gestures of love. Deborah Castellano-Lubov has this report.
May the heartbeat of love always be felt in your work, Pope Francis said to the Executive Committee of the Second International Congress of Confraternities and Popular Piety in Casa Santa Marta on Saturday. The Holy Father began his remarks by expressing his delight in welcoming the committee of the Congress, which took place from the 4th to the 8th of December in Seville, Spain, as pilgrims this Jubilee year.
Una gracia.
Acknowledging they have come to give thanks to God for their Congress. When I was told that you would be coming, I was a little worried, the Pope joked, recalling that in the message he had sent to them for that occasion, he called them crazy, and I wondered if that was why you were so eager to meet me. But a Monsignor of yours, he noted, tells me that the initiative has been a grace whose echoes are still being heard, he added, quipping, and so I feel more at ease. In his remarks, the Holy Father recalled the invitation he gave them to live their event as a prayer of praise that accompanies our earthly journey like a pilgrimage toward God and toward our brothers and sisters, and asking them to be witnesses of a love so overflowing that it might seem crazy, crazy with love. How good it would be at the conclusion of this event, the Pope noted, if the first of these echoes could be heard, especially within families. May it be heard, he explained, as the resounding silence of a prayer that moves one to tears because it comes from the heart.
De una oración que llega hasta la lágrima.
Whether before the image of the patron of your confraternity who presides over your homes, before the tabernacle of your parish or temple, at the bedside of the sick, or in the company of the elderly. The Pope acknowledged and expressed his gratitude for a charitable work of theirs providing a shelter for the homeless. May the heartbeat of a loving heart, the Holy Father noted, always be heard in this work. In this sense, the Pope encouraged them in their efforts to promote human dignity and to care for others. Finally, Pope Francis concluded praying that Jesus bless them, Mary watch over them, and asking for their prayers. I'm Deborah Castellano-Lubov.
Turning to world news, from the Holy Land, Hamas has released three more Israeli hostages in the fifth exchange in the Gaza ceasefire deal. Nathan Morley tells us more.
In return, Israel will release 183 Palestinian prisoners and detainees. The hostages released today have been identified as Or Levi, Ali Sharabi, and Ohad Ben Ami. All three men are civilians. Ben Ami and Sharabi were kidnapped from the Bir Kibbutz and Levi from the Nova Music Festival near the Rim Kibbutz. The Red Cross transported the hostages to the Israeli army on Saturday morning in an event which was widely covered in this region on television and radio. The men will now be given a medical checkup and allowed to meet their families at an army base, after which they will be transported by helicopter to hospital for more treatment. Since the ceasefire came into effect on January the 19th, Hamas has released 21 hostages, including those handed over today. Israel has released 550 Palestinian prisoners. Under the agreement, a total of 33 hostages will be released in the first phase of the ceasefire. Around 1,900 Palestinian prisoners and detainees will be released by Israel. According to local media, 18 of the Palestinians released on Saturday had been sentenced to life imprisonment, 54 to long prison terms, and 111 had been detained in Gaza during the latest conflict. According to the ceasefire agreement, Israel is scheduled to withdraw its forces from the Netzarim corridor, which divides the Gaza Strip. This is supposed to happen tomorrow on Sunday. Separately, the humanitarian community's plan to flood Gaza with aid passed an important milestone this week, with the news that more than 10,000 relief lorries have now entered the enclave since the ceasefire began. The trucks contained life-saving food, medicine and tents, all which are desperately needed by Gazans. Elsewhere, the U.S. Deputy Special Envoy for the Middle East, Morgan Ortegus, has reaffirmed the U.S.'s commitment to the February 18th deadline for Israeli forces to complete their withdrawal from southern Lebanon. During her meeting with the Lebanese president in Beirut, Ortegus emphasized that the deadline, which is part of ongoing negotiations both with the Lebanese and Israeli governments, will see Israeli forces complete their pullout and the redeployment of Lebanese troops in southern Lebanon. For Vatican Radio, this is Nathan Morley reporting.
Turning to Africa, as M23 rebels continue their offensive in the eastern part of the Democratic Republic of Congo, the Holy See has expressed deep concern over the possibility of escalation. Addressing the 37th special session of the Human Rights Council in Geneva, Apostolic Nuncio Ettore Balestrero reiterated Pope Francis' appeal for the immediate cessation of hostilities and for safeguarding the civilian population. Over the past month, the Rwandan-backed M23 rebels have extended their control over North Kivu province, killing and uprooting thousands in what was already one of the world's most dire humanitarian crises. Lisa Zangarini has the story.
In his statement on Friday, Archbishop Balestrero reaffirmed the Holy See's firm condemnation of the M23 offensive, which he said has caused an enormous tragic loss of life and human rights violations and has increased the massive displacement of populations already impoverished by the recurrent conflicts in the region. The Vatican Permanent Observer also decried that even UN peacekeepers have been killed or injured in the fighting. In order to alleviate the human crisis, at least for the delivery of humanitarian aid and the evacuation of the most seriously wounded, Archbishop Balestrero urged for the immediate reopening of Goma's airport, which has been closed since the M23 took over the city. While expressing the Holy See's closeness and solidarity to the families of those killed, the nuncio reminded all parties to the conflict of their obligation under international humanitarian law. He reaffirmed its support for the stalling Luanda peace process and called for an immediate resumption of negotiations within that framework. The Vatican Observer also said the Holy See welcomes the proposal to establish an independent fact-finding mission in the DRC. Concluding, Archbishop Balestrero urged the M23 rebels to withdraw from the occupied zones, reiterating that the territorial integrity of the DRC must be fully respected. The M23 offensive is the worst escalation of fighting in East DRC since 2012. At least 2,000 people were killed in the battle for Goma, and aid groups have been helping to relieve overwhelmed hospitals as health workers race against time to bury the bodies amid concerns of disease spreading. Prosecutors at the International Criminal Court say they are closely monitoring the bloodshed where reports are emerging of rape, gang rape and sexual slavery. I am Lisa Zingarini.
And staying in Africa, the Sudanese army is making massive gains in its effort to recapture the war-torn capital of Khartoum. Thaddeus Jones tells us more.
Residents of Sudan's capital, Khartoum, are reporting that large areas of the city have been recaptured in recent days by Sudanese army soldiers in their fight against the RSF paramilitaries. The city still remains divided, and while the RSF forces control Khartoum itself, the regular army now has taken over the wider territory surrounding the capital, making it the biggest takeover in a year. This according to local media reports. Sudan is also known to have the largest and fastest growing displacement crisis globally. The conflict broke out in April 2023 between the Sudanese Armed Forces and the RSF Rapid Support Forces. More than 12.3 million people have been forcibly displaced from their homes, a quarter of the population. In excess of 3 million others have fled to surrounding nations, including the Central African Republic, Chad, Egypt, Ethiopia, Libya, South Sudan, and Uganda. Tens of thousands of civilians have been massacred, and the ordinary people have been caught in the crossfire or directly targeted. Aid workers say starvation across the country is widespread due to the war, and the UN says in Khartoum alone, over 100,000 people are suffering from hunger. International aid agencies say Sudan represents the world's most desperate humanitarian crisis and one that is almost forgotten by the world's media. Other countries shouldering the burden of the refugee exodus from Sudan is Egypt, which has become the largest host country for Sudanese refugees fleeing the ongoing conflict. Recent data from the government there indicates that more than 1.2 million Sudanese have sought international protection there since the outbreak of the war. The UN Refugee Agency, UNHCR, is working in all these areas to help the refugees and says that in addition to humanitarian and development assistance, there's an urgent need for durable solutions. Expanding resettlement and complementary pathways, they say, is essential to providing refugees with long-term stability and integration opportunities in third countries. They said this will not only alleviate the pressure on Egypt and other countries, but also ensure that the refugees have access to essential medicine, food, education, and a chance to eventually rebuild their lives with dignity and hope. I'm Thaddeus Jones.
Finally, today, February 8th, is the 11th International Day of Prayer and Awareness Against Human Trafficking. The commemoration falls on the liturgical memorial of St. Josephine Bekita, a Sudanese woman who fell victim to human trafficking as a child and who later, having gained her freedom, became a nun. Yesterday, Pope Francis released his message for the World Day of Prayer and Awareness Against Human Trafficking. In it, he decried the global scourge that continues unabated to this day. At the same time, he urged Catholics and all men and women of goodwill to do their part to combat the exploitation of vulnerable people. The Holy Father also praised the work of the religious sisters of the network Talitha Kum, whom he received at his residence yesterday. In his address to the group, he insisted that everyone must not tolerate the shameful exploitation of so many of our sisters and brothers. And he added, trafficking in human bodies, the sexual exploitation even of small children and forced labor are a disgrace and a very serious violation of fundamental human rights. And that brings us just about to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, we invite you to visit our Vatican News web portal at www.vaticannews.va. And don't forget to catch our latest updates on Facebook, X, and Instagram. Many thanks this afternoon go to our technicians in studio in the Vatican. I'm Christopher Wells.